Whether you keep them in your home or love to see them in theirs, these are the creatures that bring us all together.
Reptiles. We're going to be delving into the experiences of reptile lovers from around the block and around the world. This is the Reptile Talk Podcast.
Reptiles.
Hey, recording has started. What's going on, everybody? This is Jeremy Turgeon from Brassman Reptiles.
And I'm Rob, and I'm creeping it real.
And we're we're starting off the new year with some changes.
A little bit. Something different.
Yeah. So first thing is Rob and I have our own mics. And which is pretty cool.
I got
cool.
My own mic.
Yep, that's cool. And I gave Rob the better mic.
So hey.
You know, I have to sit very weirdly on this
smooth
omnidirectional mic.
Rob Christian coming into your radio in full stereo.
So we're also recording this through StreamYard, which means at some point we're hopefully going to be able to add a video element to the podcast, which is going to be great. So hopefully we'll figure out exactly where it's going to go. It might end up going to my YouTube, and I'll just create a playlist.
Ooh.
For Reptile Talk.
I like
it. And then all of our videos can be there, and you can see our guests. There'll be a live chat option so we can see what you guys are saying and do that kind of stuff. But today's episode
is on tools of the trade.
Hey.
We're going to be talking about useful tools for people who keep reptiles, things that, you know, every person who keeps reptiles should have in their reptile room. Or if you there are going to be some tools that are kind of catered to specific types of reptiles and amphibians and things like that. Those will also be kind of notated in here as well, because there are a lot of tools that can help make your, you know, job, quote unquote, of keeping these animals significantly easier. Like, some people are like, I'm just going to hand feed my snake, and then they end up feeding their hand to the snake, which is
literally
not the goal. That's not the goal. I just want to, before we even get started, I just think it's really funny. And on the live stream on Instagram and on the StreamYard, because of the distance that I'm sitting at and the distance that you're sitting at,
I look very large.
It makes Jeremy look really tall, and it makes me look small. So when you guys go to the expos, just know that Jeremy is like 5 inches taller than me. He's significantly more buff, and I'm a little boy.
It's my fat. It's my fat making me look buff.
Oh, no.
It's okay.
Oh, no.
Oh, man. All right. So tools of the trade.
Yeah, Jeremy, what is something that you would consider like essential for most like reptile rooms or people who are keeping reptiles? If they want to get one thing or a couple things just to get started, what would you say is like an essential, something that just about everyone should have?
That 55-inch snake hook from Midwest Haunts.
Oh, the flat
Python
one?
Hook, yeah.
Oh, yeah. The pancake flipper. Yeah. I like that one.
Exactly. I think the first thing, honestly, I think the first tool that anybody should have is something for sanitizing.
Mm.
So literally the simplest thing is hand sanitizer. I think that should be in everybody's snake room, just for the simple fact of you want to keep your collection sanitary. You don't want to potentially pass pathogens from one snake to another. And if you're somebody that has, you know, maybe 5 snakes and they're like corn snakes or something, you don't necessarily need a very large tool belt, so to speak. You need some things,
yeah,
but you don't need a large tool belt. But one of the things you certainly want to prevent is spreading any disease from one snake to another.
Or sometimes you just get like poop or musk on you or something. You just want a quick little, you know, just a little something.
Yeah, do that one more time in the mic.
A little. That was terrible. I'm sorry. That's not the sound that hand sanitizer makes. But just a little something. Just like, you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been like going through and spot cleaning, or, you know, I just like go to pick the snake up and I didn't realize that they were sitting in pee. And I picked them up and I'm
that's
like,
oh,
there's pee all over my hands.
Yeah,
this
that's always
not
great.
Good. Not good.
You don't like that, Rob?
No.
That's not your thing?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Oh, well, now you know.
Yeah.
You heard it here, guys.
Not even on our OnlyFans. So, I mean, the hand sanitizer, I think that is huge. I think that, you know, hand sanitizer, if you can get a sink in the room, if you've got a big collection, having a sink in the room is huge to be able to properly clean and sanitize your, you know, dishes, quote unquote, your water dishes, your supplies, and people put cage decor and things like that. Being able to clean that in a sink that's in your own room is
that's major.
Major. It's huge. But even just the thing of hand sanitizer is really great. You know, when you're going from one type of animal to another, you know, going from between pythons and boas, I would prefer to wash hands or not do them on the same day.
Yep.
But if you need to, quick little hand sanitizer can get rid of some of the stuff that is on your hands, just as a precautionary measure.
Because you want to be safe.
Yeah. You always want to be safe.
Yeah.
And that's something that it matters from having two animals up to having 200 animals or more. Everywhere yep. in between those two numbers, even if you just got one animal, it doesn't hurt to have some hand sanitizer in the room.
True.
And you know what? I'm not one of those people who's like, hand sanitize every time you do everything, because I really hate hand sanitizer. I think that it's not great if you overuse it in your everyday life. But when you're in your reptile room, I think it is very important. Coming in behind that, the other thing, because I was like, oh, man, so many things that could be useful for this are not going to be useful for that. The mm-hmm. other most important thing that I think that people should have is a temp gun. To know what your temperatures are at. It's super, super important to be able to check your temperatures, because, you know, most people are keeping these animals in their house. And in your house, your temperature is going to fluctuate between summertime and wintertime and fall and spring and all that sort of stuff. So if you've got you've got a thermostat and you've got your stuff set up to be set to 82 degrees, mm-hmm. it is so helpful to be able to come in and boom, temp gun it and go, oh, that's weird. It's not reading that it's getting that warm in here. I should fix that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your thermostat might say 82 degrees and on the probe, it might be 82 degrees, but in the enclosure where your animal's at, it might not be. So it's super, super helpful to have a temp gun to be able to just scan quick as you're going. Or if something feels off, like I had set up my rack on some heat and I was like, man, it just feels warmer to me than it should be. And the thermostat's reading correctly. You know, everything's looking like it's supposed to be, except for I get the feeling that like when I'm near it, it feels warm to me. I take the temp gun and scan it. And there was an error with the probe on the thermostat. And it was reading like 5 or 10 degrees warmer than it was supposed to. Oh, if I didn't have the thermostat, I would just be like, oh, the thermostat's, the temp gun. If I didn't have the temp gun, I just go, oh, the thermostat's reading cool. It's fine.
Right.
So just to be able to check and to know where your temp parameters are at, like actually at, I think that's super important for everyone. If you keep chameleons, if you keep leopard geckos, if you keep bearded dragons, you know, pixie frogs, anything, you should know where your temperatures are at, because these animals are cold-blooded. They can't control their body temperature. So if it starts to get too hot and they don't have enough place to thermoregulate, they can just overheat. If they're not reaching the appropriate temperature to digest their food, it can be really bad for them. So I think that like the temp gun is something super important for everyone who's got reptiles, arachnids, invertebrates, you know, amphibians, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Something super important everyone should have, every single person.
Yeah, and it's also something that's not super expensive.
No. Not at all.
You know, I think like $20. Sometimes if that, a little bit cheaper. Yeah. I mean you can certainly get the nice
reptile ones. Yeah, they're like
$40 dollars.
$30, $35.
Yeah.
If you go to this is a secret, but if you go to Home Depot, they sell temp guns for cars and they work the same for $15.
What?
We're not sponsored by anybody. So, we can say whatever we want. We're not trying to sell you anything.
That's right.
You can go into the automotive section, get a temp gun for $15 and it works just as good as your other kind of reptile. I was about to call out some brands, but I don't want to call them out like that.
The shade. Hey. Kicking 2021 off with some shade.
Hey, here's what it is.
Oh man. I think one of the things to note is that I think for the most part what we're gonna kind of be covering today, talking about the tools of the trade, is most of these things are not expensive.
No, it really isn't.
You know, like we're talking like under $100
easily.
Things that you should just have in your snake room. Or have by your sink, that it's going to make your job overall easier. Another thing that I'll add, especially this certainly goes for somebody who may have like a larger collection, trash barrel.
Oh yeah.
But
yes.
But trash barrel with wheels.
Yeah. Yeah. If you've got a room, if you got a reptile room,
yeah,
having the wheels does make a huge difference.
The wheels are massive. And I used to not really even think about that. What?
The wheels are massive. I'm just picturing an all-terrain trash can that you like wheel over in through the forest. You're like, these wheels are massive.
These wheels are massive. Four-wheel drive trash cans. No, but you know, I mean, just think about it, especially if you've got like one room, but you say like one side of your room might have like 100 colubrids and one side of your room might have like 10 berms or something. I don't know.
Not really, my room.
Not Rob's room, but me. Okay, so 10 Borneos.
There we go.
but, you know, you go from one side of the room to the other and, you know, you've got, okay, colubrids, maybe not that messy. You know, you're just picking up through some sandy chips or whatever. And then you go to the Borneos and like if everything decided to poo, you're going to go from this very light, easy to move trash can that you could just lift up to suddenly very heavy, very stinky trash can that you're not going to want to even bother touching. And if you have to lift that up, it's going to be awkward. It's going to be smelly. Yeah. The wheels give you some grace to the exit.
Yes.
So wheels are your friend.
Yeah, for real. They really are.
Casters. And get casters.
Casters. Hey, I mean,
it's a tool.
Yes.
It's not one you might think about. But
yeah, it's probably one that I wouldn't have thought about initially. But then if you were sitting there in a room without a trash can with wheels, then you're going, I'm going to lift this 50-pound trash bag.
Yeah, when you're first, you know, first get the new trash bag in there, you know, you're all, yeah, no big deal, whatever. But by the end of your day,
yeah,
woo, you're wishing you had some wheels on that motherfucker.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. I feel like the main things that everyone is going to want to have is stuff for sanitization and then stuff to keep within parameters. Yeah. So like going with the hand sanitizer, you're going to want to have something to clean and sterilize the inside of your enclosure. So a lot of people will get chlorhexidine, works really good. It's basically what vet offices use to clean down their tables and their equipment in between visits. Between different, what we call them, clients, I guess.
Sure. Patients.
There we go. That sounds better than clients. So chlorhexidine works really good. The other one that a lot of people use, or that I use and I usually recommend, is a bleach solution. So diluted bleach and water, one part bleach to 8 parts water, or 1 to 10, either or works really well. You know, some people dislike bleach. It's personal preference when it comes to that. Honestly, the chlorhexidine smells really nice. So like when I'm using it, I'm like, this is nice and clean. And then when I'm cleaning with bleach, I'm usually like, oh my God.
Yeah. Dying.
I made a mistake.
Literally dying.
Hey, listen here. We're living. Okay.
Not when you're inhaling bleach or not. Although I do hear that might be a good way to get rid of COVID.
Burn the whole inside of your mucous membranes.
Everything.
Out.
Just everything.
Burns it all out. So, you know, having something that you utilize on a regular basis for cleaning and sanitization is almost as important or just as important as having things to clean your hands when you're working with your reptiles. So I always recommend having a plan for that. I mean, some people use also vinegar and water.
Yep.
Not as popular. Honestly, I don't like the smell of vinegar all that much. So I personally don't like it, but, you know, people will still utilize that, especially for stuff that's a little bit more sensitive to cleaning supplies. Like if you're going to be working with amphibians, can be a little bit more sensitive. And always rinse really well after you've used any sort of cleaner before putting your animal back into your enclosure.
That's right.
Or into its enclosure. And from there, I usually go, I mean, this is on the higher end of cost of things that we're probably going to talk about tonight, but the thermostats are super important. If you've got any number of snakes, if you've got racks, they might not be great for, if you're doing a bearded dragon with 140 degree basking spot, it might not be great. It might melt the probe, but for just about everything else, having a thermostat, a good working thermostat that you can rely on, so not necessarily the cheap one, is super important. Because, you know, when back in the day when they used to sell you, you know, reptiles or, you know, a ball python, they'd be like, here, throw the heat mat on and just put it in your house someplace. And that was the end of the conversation. Yeah, it wasn't like
how you
what temperature
your
is yeah. it supposed to be at? My house is very cold. And they're like, there's a heat pad. Ta-da.
Yeah.
And it's like they didn't go beyond that and teach you why you need the heat pad and what temperatures you're looking for. And since these animals, again, are cold-blooded, they can't control their body temperature. So they need that aid. They need something to help keep them in that temp range. Alternatively, things like axolotls need chillers for the water because they don't like to get warm. Like your house might be too warm for them. And that's like the opposite ends of the spectrum. It's like people with monitors are like, I have to get my house 150 degrees. And then people with axolotls are like, I have the air conditioning on. It's still too hot. I don't know what to do. I don't understand.
Help.
Yeah.
Help.
Help. And chillers are just starting to become more readily available. They're still on that higher price point. I think they are like $70 or more to get a chiller for your axolotl. But they're starting to come down and they're starting to make them more affordable for people. You know, it's not an easy thing to do to get something to cool down your water constantly and keep it on that colder temp range. But the thermostats are probably going to run you somewhere between $70 and $150 or more, depending on what you're running, like the Herpstats, Spider Robotics.
Yep.
Oh my goodness, I can't think of the
Helix.
Yeah, Helix. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah.
The Helix thermostats. A lot of those ones are gonna. The standard one is like $110 or something, right around there. So it might be a big, you know, investment, quote unquote, for a lot of people because they're going, okay, I bought this $70. Ball python, and then you want me to put $100 thermostat on this? Why would I do that? And it's like, well, if you wanted to live, if you wanted to do well, you probably are going to want to have a thermostat to make sure that you're staying within that temp range, and then your temp gun to make sure that your thermostat is appropriate.
Look at that! Look at that! I sense a theme there with Rob. I definitely agree that thermostats are key. You know, I mean, one of the things that is also nice to point out is, you know, especially if you're doing something that's like a corn snake or something where they can handle a wide fluctuation and you're not necessarily as concerned about like the super specific, you're just like, I just don't want to get too hot. There are other options. Other companies have made thermostats that are a little bit more affordable. Maybe not necessarily first choice, but if you're like, I really don't have $100 and something, but I know I need a thermostat.
Yeah.
Like there's a good thing that you can get that's way more affordable, that will help you kind of coast by until like maybe you need to save up or you just need a little bit, you know,
and
whatever.
And as we're going forward, there are more thermostats becoming available. And as we're testing more of them, we're finding out which ones work really well, which ones might not work really well.
Yeah.
Like the Jumpstart ones used to be really great and they worked pretty well. And then as we're going forward, we're finding out that a lot of the newer ones that they're making aren't as great as the ones that they had initially come out with.
Yeah.
So that's one that we used to recommend. And now we're like, probably don't want to use those much anymore. And then the ones that we just started using, which we like so far, I just totally blanked on the name of them. Inkbirds.
Yep.
I was like, jumpstart. the Inkbird thermostats we're just starting to utilize now, and they seem to work really well. And they're kind of one of the very few that's coined as when it fails, it'll fail in the off position. Because most thermostats, if something goes wrong, the thermostat goes, well, just keep pumping energy, and it just cranks whatever it's attached to, which is not good for the animals. Honestly, reptiles can handle being cold a lot better than they can handle being too hot.
Yeah.
Once,
go figure.
Yeah. Once they get too hot, it is usually a wrap. They'll get neurological issues or they'll overheat and die very quickly. But if they get cold, I've literally had an animal shipped to me in like February when I was living in Maine. And like, you know, if you're using heat packs and doing all this stuff, it's not that big a deal. Mm-hmm. But the person who had shipped it to me used like one of those hot hands, like the little ones that go inside your glove, which like
they last like 2 hours or whatever,
4 hours or something. And so when the snake got to me, I opened up the box and I feel the heat pack and it's cold.
It's gone. Yeah,
yeah, it's cold. And I'm like, oh, this is not good. Because the thing was sitting on a FedEx truck for, you know, 3 hours before it got to our building. So I was like, oh, well, this snake is dead. That's not good. And it was an Amazon tree boa. And so I opened it up and I'm like freaking out. I'm like, oh my God, this is so bad. And so I'm like taking pictures because it's not moving. It's inside of a deli cup inside of the box. And I take out the deli cup and it's not moving. I flip the deli cup upside down. It's not moving. I open it up. So I'm recording with my phone. I'm like, okay, well, this thing is dead. And I like pull it out and it's cold, like physically cold to the touch. Like something I don't want to touch because it's cold, because I hate the cold. and it's like almost like a pretzel. It's just like almost rigid. So I take it and I'm like, this is dead. Like, what the hell? You didn't use the proper heat pack. What the heck?
Yeah.
And so I put it down on the counter and all of a sudden I see its pupil twitch. And I was like, there's no way that thing's pupil just twitched. And then I saw like the very end of its tongue come out a little bit and then come back in. And I was like, there is no way this snake is still alive right now. And I was like, well, if it is alive, I need to like not have it in this room, because I had had it in a room that was like warmer. It was like 85 degrees or something.
Yeah,
and I usually don't want to, I don't want to try and shock them, because going from that extreme temperature shift can sometimes cause a shock to their system.
Yeah.
So I took it into the front room of our store, which is significantly cooler. And I set it down on the floor on some paper. I took a heat light with like a 50 watt bulb or a 25 watt bulb, something really low wattage, and set it up at like 2 or 3 feet away from it. And after 5 minutes, its tongue started to like come out a little bit. And I was like, there is no way that this snake is alive and is like actually going to survive this. And probably about an hour later, it had turned itself completely over and it was like watching. It wouldn't move really, but it was like just watching what's going on around it. And just slow tongue flicks every 30 seconds or so.
Yeah.
And then literally 2 hours later, 3 hours later, the thing was like, you would never have been able to tell that anything was wrong with it.
Frozen to death.
Literally. Yeah. And the thing survived and like did really well and like grew up and is with my friend now. And because it was a present for him. And so like that is just like a huge testament to how cold they can get. Like they can tolerate the cold way better. Like, don't do that. If you can avoid doing that,
don't do that.
Don't do that. But if they go a day without heat or, you know, 2 days without heat, it's usually not going to kill them, unless you're in someplace really cold like New England and the whole room gets that cold. That's something. Oh, if you're in the northern part of the U.S. or you're in a place that gets cold at any time of the year, other thing that every single reptile person should have is a 48-hour or a 72-hour heat pack and some sort of insulated box, so that if you lose power for a day or overnight or something, you can take your reptile, put it into a insulated box, use that heat pack, and make sure that they have someplace where they can stay warm. Because it's not something that we think, like, you know, when you think about, oh, I lost power, that sucks, I can't watch Netflix. But when it comes to your reptile's life, that their lifeline is you having power and being able to stay warm, that is something that you should have on your mind.
For sure.
I think that's something super important that every single person, if you've got one reptiles or 100 reptiles, and you live anywhere where it gets colder than freezing, you should have at least one heat pack. If you've got more reptiles, more heat packs, so that in case of an emergency, you can put them in a place where they can stay warm.
Yep.
Because, you know, they can go a couple days without water if you need, in a dire situation where, you know, you don't have any power, you don't have any water in your house, that sort of thing. They can handle it as long as they stay relatively warm. So it's super important to think about, you know, people don't want to think about what happens in a, you know, disaster situation, but it's always important to just plan just in case, because you don't want to be, 2 days into being snowed into your home and finding out that you're not going to get power for another 5 days and you don't have any heat packs, you don't have any way to keep your animals warm. That is a very scary situation to be in. and not outside of the realm of possibility for a lot of people in New England or in the northern part of the U.S. Yeah. Something to definitely take into consideration, you know, even no matter where you're at. People in Florida sometimes even get cold snaps, and you know, to have that on hand just in case, I think that's super important. I think everyone should have some sort of backup plan in case they lose power.
Yeah, I would agree. And another thing, if you want to even go a step further, especially if you're willing to make that investment, if you have maybe a larger collection, you get a generator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, generators are quite a bit more affordable nowadays than they were a long time ago. And now you can get rechargeable generators that will last X amount of period of time. So, you know, if you know, like, oh man, like, you know, whatever electric company is saying we won't have power for 2 days, luckily I've got this generator that can last up to a week or whatever.
Even if it just powers just your, you know, your fridge and your reptiles heating, that's all you really need.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you can, most people can deal with it or go to a hotel or something, you know, in the meantime. And that's super important. If you've got any number of reptiles, I think a generator is like a must have, you know, just to be on the safe side, or some sort of space heater that you don't need to have on power.
Right.
If you can get a gas space heater, I mean, that also presents challenges because it's in a closed space and this and that. But just to be on the safe side, to have a backup plan in case you do lose power, is super important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely something to take into consideration. There's a lot of tools.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to talk about tweezers for 2 hours. I mean, but there are so many different things that
there are a lot of things
can be very important for people. And you know, when I was thinking about this episode, I was thinking, okay, thermostats, temp probe, so the temp gun, what I meant to say, cleaner, bleach or chlorhexidine. I'm like, yeah, and then there's some things that you can use for this and some things you can use for that. But I mean, there's not. And now I'm thinking, I'm like, yes, everyone should have one of those. And everyone should have one of those.
It's true.
You get a temp gun and you get a temp gun and you get a temp gun. Yeah. Pull Oprah.
An Oprah with temp guns.
Yeah.
I'd be okay with that.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe we should do a giveaway for a temp gun.
That'd be kind of cool.
Hey, how's this? If you're listening to this right now, share this with someone, screenshot it that you sent it to someone, and send it to me, at Rob is Creeping It Real on Instagram, and I will enter a bunch of people into a giveaway, and I will send you a free temp gun.
Cool.
We're doing it.
Bam.
There.
We're kicking 2021 off with a giveaway.
Hey, I like it.
Bam. All right. There you go. You heard it here.
Yeah.
And there. And, well, there is here.
So. And through your headphones or your speakers.
Headphones. That's right.
Of your car.
Of your car. We need a deadline, though.
We do need a deadline. How about this? We'll run it.
No,
I was going to say until the end of March.
Well, the end
that'll,
of March.
That'll give people, if you haven't get it, if you didn't get a chance to listen to it right when it came out, it'll give you. So the end of March 2020, if you shoot me a message, I'll make a log of people and we'll send you. And I'll get you like a nice one. I'm not going to get like a.
He's going to get you the Home Depot one.
I probably will. Honestly, they work really good. I'll get you the nice Home Depot one. I'll get you the $30 one, not the $10 one.
Hey. I might enter that.
Hey, man.
I need a new temp gun.
Right? That's all I'm saying. They're like, Jeremy won. This is rigged.
Yeah. Maybe so. Oh, man. I think another thing that people should have, especially if they have larger snakes, it's a snake hook.
Yes. I mean, if you've got snakes, snake hooks are super important. If you've got lizards, maybe not.
Maybe not so much.
If you've got crocodilians, snake hooks are super important. I can't tell you how many times. I use snake hooks more on the crocodilians at Nerd than I do on the snakes.
Yep. It's true. It's true.
Just to move them from one place to another. Just to like scoot them and direct them and stuff.
Yeah. And, you know, you be the judge. I think we can say if you have a bunch of corn snakes, if you feel like you need a snake hook for your corn snakes.
Maybe
you don't need snakes.
Yeah. Like gloves. I got gloves instead.
Yeah. But, you know, I mean, like if you've got bigger constrictors.
If you keep ticks, you need a snake hook.
Carpet, I'll say even carpet pythons.
Yep.
They're a great way to just kind of push them out of the way when they want to come at you for food. Those kind of things, like, they're certainly helpful. You know, I mean, I think basically, I won't say every time because that's not always true, but for the most part, when you see somebody taking out a big snake, there's usually that element of having a hook, touching the snake.
I do it every time.
I mean, I do it every time.
The
too,
only
yeah.
snake I don't do it every time with is no. Well, I still do it with Moo sometimes. Actually, most of the time I do it with Moo.
Yeah.
I say Janet.
Oh,
but that's because I use my hat. I literally just put my hat over the top of her, and then I'm like, okay, I got you. She's the only snake, only big snake that I trust like that.
It's going to bite you in the ass one day, Rob.
I mean, probably not on the ass, but probably on the hand.
Bit him right in the hat.
Yeah. She has bit my hat once because I like, she must have been sleeping because I like put it down on the top of her and she's like, oh, grab it. And she just like grabbed it and wrapped it. And I was like, that's my hat.
Oh,
that's my hat. And she was like, oh, this doesn't have a pulse.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, snake hooks for sure. Another thing, if you've got bigger snakes, I mean, you could certainly use like hemostats.
I recommend hemostats or tweezers for everybody. Just about everybody.
Just about everybody.
Try to think of who wouldn't use hemostats or tweezers.
Kenyan sand boa people.
Nope. I would 100% use them for Kenyan sand boas. You ever seen one of those things launch like a graboid out from underneath the fucking underneath the substrate? The things, it's like sitting there, and then all of a sudden,
just death like, and destruction erupt from the soils.
Yeah. Dude, you know what would make a cool video?
What?
How high can my Kenyan sand boa strike? And just see how straight,
like a breaching, just a bunch of breaches. That would actually be
kind of cool.
That'd be pretty cool. In tandem with hemostats, especially if we're thinking about feeding, if you've got larger constrictors, it's certainly worth getting a pair of snake tongs.
Yes, the grabbers.
You know, not, of course, not really for handling, but you know, you've got that big prey item, say it's a guinea pig or a really large rat or a rabbit, depending on what you're feeding. You know, if you're feeding a prey item that size to an animal, it's probably got a pretty solid strike range.
Mm-hmm.
It would be okay for you to have to be 3 foot plus away from it, you know.
I've had a Borneo short tail python that was like 3 foot. She blew right past my 18-inch hemostats and just grabbed my hand, and I was like, oh shit, that's not good.
And this is why you want
the grabbers. Yeah. I was like, 18 inches plenty, and I like took the rat and put it like right up to her face.
Oof.
And she got so excited, she was like doing one of these things, so she's like smelling intently. Yeah. And when she struck, she was up like this, so she just went right past the top of it and right onto my hand, and I was like, oh crap, that sucks.
Yeah, I was feeding boas with Dan earlier today. Neither of us had tongs or anything. Luckily, nobody got bit. But
I'm surprised Dan usually gets railed.
He usually does get railed. But there were a few close calls where I was like, we should find some tongs.
Yeah, you don't ever think about how bad you might need tongs until you feel, and like it touches the hair
just
on your hand,
it.
And you're like, oh, that was close.
Yep. That almost happened.
Yeah.
nothing makes it more intense though than a big female ball python. Just like, you open up that CB70 drawer and she's launching herself at you while you're also bringing the tub closer to you because you're opening it.
Those 7 foot retics too. Oh my lord.
Oh yeah.
They're just like, I will grab you.
Yeah.
Like, you're gonna fall on the floor. They're like, I'm gonna fall on the floor and grab you.
Yeah. Exactly. Doesn't matter. So yeah, grabbers and hemostats
and tweezers.
Yeah,
very
helpful.
I think those are important for like just about everybody, from arachnids to amphibians to leopard geckos. I mean, I love feeding leopard geckos like off tongs. They're just like, you see them like dial in and then they wiggle their tail a little bit and then jump on it. It's so cool.
Yeah, I love that because they get that super derpy
look
on their face when
they look
the
like
eyes look forward.
Dan
and
when
like,
he sees a krupkak.
poor Dan. Oh, you fucker. That's an insider for us nerd employees.
Yeah. One of the guys who works there, he likes cupcakes a lot.
He does.
He gets bit by things a lot.
He does. He likes to feed himself.
Yeah, his hands. He likes to feed his hands to things.
Yeah.
Hands, it's what's for dinner.
It's what's for dinner. Especially if you're Dan. Yeah. That should be the subtext. Yeah. If you're Dan.
So... the hemostats and the tweezers, I think those are super important, like just about everything. I mean, granted, when most people are feeding their leopard geckos, if you got a bunch of leopard geckos, you're not going to sit there and like tong feed them.
Yeah.
But if you got, you know, any number less than 10,
That's fair. Yeah.
It's not unreasonable to feed them by tongue. I think it's fun.
Yeah, it's super fun.
If you got time.
It's all, yeah, and it's also something like, it's even if you have like kids.
Oh, yeah.
Or something like, that's a really fun thing to do. Be like, watch how cute this leopard gecko becomes when it sees food.
Mm-hmm. just to be able to build that kind of bond, quote unquote, with them, just to be able to be like, look at, you're feeding this thing and watch it grow and all this stuff.
Yeah.
I think that's super important for kids. So if you've got kids, you know, letting them get in on feeding things is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. 100%. So here's something. I'm going to throw this out there only because it's coming back to me. I'm recalling some stories.
Oh boy. Are you bringing up the feeding frozen thawed things with Steve Tillis?
No, not that.
I don't want to talk about that.
No, me either. No, as far as what you should need, and you're going to think like, really, you even had to say that, but I'm saying it. So
paper towels.
I have to say it. No. For those of you who don't have a rack system or like an AP cage, a sliding glass door cage or drop down cage, and you're using a fish tank or a glass aquarium, you need a screen top for that aquarium so your animal doesn't escape.
Even then, corn snakes are like, screen top,
right?
There's not even anything there,
right? In tandem with that come the locks.
Oh,
the
that's
latches.
Those are important.
Those are very important. But I'm literally saying this because I've been involved when I lived in Western Mass and used to work pretty well with MSPCA and ACOs and everything. The number of people who would say, my snake got out, and you'd ask how, and they said, well, I don't have a top on the enclosure, or like they took chicken wire and molded that around the top, but it's for a baby corn snake, and the chicken right wire is like quarter inch squares, so it just goes right through it. So you need a screen top.
You need some sort of lid to
something real
in case the animal. Whatever.
Chicken wire is not a real screen top for your glass aquarium.
Surprise!
Just saying. You need to know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just saying. Throwing it out there. I didn't think I'd ever have to say that, but I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yep. Okay. So here's another thing. For everything that you have, tools wise, be it snake hooks, grabbers, hemostats, thermostats, hand sanitizer, basically anything we've already covered. Something that's also really good to think about, especially if you use a large number of these things, is having extras.
Yes.
So yeah, instead of just purchasing one pair of hemostats, grab two.
Mm-hmm.
Because you never know, one time one might just totally break. It happens. It's not uncommon.
Not uncommon at all.
You know, in snake hooks, sometimes you get, you know, if you've never bought a snake hook before and you're just like, yeah, I bought this one from like Petco or whatever, and it's one of those telescoping snake hooks. If for some reason that system, that internal springy system that keeps it extended, if for some reason that gives way, now you can't extend it. Your snake hook is now basically rendered useless. So unless you're fine with using a 6-inch snake hook.
Like Timmy, he's like, I got this 6-foot King Cobra on this 18-inch snake hook.
terrible. You know, so it's just something to think about. You know, yes, it's certainly an extra expense, and you don't necessarily need to right away immediately go grab two of everything or whatever. But it's something to keep in the back of your mind. Like if you see like maybe your local pet store is having a sale on something or like a holiday sale or something like that, and you're like, yeah, you know what? Maybe I can afford an extra, you know, Zoomed thermostat, because instead of $50, they're $30 now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something like that, just so you have a backup. God forbid, it's better to be prepared than caught with your pants down around your ankles.
I've also seen people piggyback their thermostats so that if one does fail, that the other one shuts off the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I've been like racking my brain over this for the last like week now, because as technology is getting more and more and more advanced, and people are making smart homes and doing smart outlets and this and that and the other thing. I've been literally just thinking about how we can apply this to reptiles, and the smart outlets that let you like turn your lights on and off when you're not home just by like the app. I was like, man, it would be amazing if we could hook those up to thermostats so that when the alarm goes off on the thermostat, it sets a reminder on your, or like sets an alert on your phone, and you could shut off your thermostat using your smart outlet.
That would actually
be cool. Was like, oh my God, if we can get that going, that would like save so many animals. It would save so many people, you know, the heartbreak of coming home and having that thermostat that malfunction and not have been being able to do anything for it. Right. Because they're starting to have thermostats that'll give you notifications on your phone if it goes out of temp range, but most of them don't have anything that they can do beyond that. So if you're in the area, you can do something about it. If you're not in the area, you have to sit and look at this reminder or this alert on your phone and go, oh crap, there's bad things happening right now. There's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah.
But if we had that in tandem with the smart outlets to be able to go, okay, shut off outlet number 6 that's on this thermostat right here, and it fixes the problem until you can get home and handle it. Like I said, they can handle being a little bit cool way better than they can handle being too hot.
Yeah,
that is going to be something huge.
That would be huge.
Literally, I've been thinking, like, my mind has been going on that for like the last 3 days. I've just been like thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it. Like, with the smart lights and all the different apps people can get on their phone, and the ring lights that you can, or cameras that you can set up. Mm-hmm. One of the kids who used to work at Nerd, David, he just got for Christmas some security cameras, and his mom was like, oh, you can like put them in your, on your reptiles so you can like see what they're doing when you're not home. And he set them up on his breeding carpet pythons, and he's like, I can just go through and scroll through and see what they were doing all day and watch. Oh, look, they locked at 1 p.m. and then they kind of dispersed and went around, and then they locked again at 6:30 p.m. And he's like, if I had not had this camera, I wouldn't have even known that they lock, because whenever I'm home, they're just sitting on opposite sides of the enclosure. And as this technology is getting more and more advanced, I think that we're gonna really be able to do more and be more responsible with how we keep things.
Yeah, I agree. I certainly think it's important to realize that as technology expands and grows, the opportunities for us as keepers to expand and grow and continue to add those elements of safety and security are always changing.
Yes.
Ever changing, yeah. You know, so it's certainly important to, I mean, and I understand, like, we don't necessarily want to inundate ourselves with more things on our phone. You know, there's some people who are like, ah, I just don't want to even deal with my phone. But
if saves your animal's life.
exactly. So it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you know what? You can get one of those, like a set of those little security cameras and stuff for fairly cheap. Just a couple $100.
Yeah.
You can get like 3 to 5, depending on what you're getting, or more. You know, and if you can have that right in the palm of your hand, you know, I think about if anybody keeping any number of snakes is also like breeding rodents. It's always great to have an extra set of eyes in your rodent room in case something goes down. You get a rat that gets out and chews a line, and you want to know where the rat is. If you've got a camera in that room, you might be able to see it, find it a little bit easier. All of those things. But you know, yeah, if you're trying to keep an eye on something that you've locked up for breeding, you know, like, that's certainly a massive help. Yeah, confirmed locks are always helpful. You know, so it's certainly something that we should always be willing to investigate, for just peace of mind.
Literally.
General peace of mind. I mean, like, if you're doing it, if you're already doing it for your own home, you know, let's say you have like one of those like doorbells that also has like the little security camera on it. So whenever somebody rings your doorbell, you get a notification on your phone, and it's like a live stream of like who's at your front door. If we're already doing stuff like that for our homes, don't you also want to protect the stuff that's in your home, or like have at least that leg up if something goes down in the space where you've got your animals, this investment, these living creatures that you have? You know, why not go the extra mile to protect that?
They even they make one for dogs that like you can live video chat your dog, and like it's got a treat dispenser on it. Imagine if you could do that for your bearded dragon, just like a little cricket pops out and it's like...
Stop.
Oh, the bearded dragon moms and dads are gonna be so happy.
It's just like, you just buy like 100 count of super worms.
Yeah, dude. Just
throw the super worms in this little Pez dispenser. It's basically a Pez dispenser. Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Hey, baby, I love you.
No, no.
Will Nace in the house.
Hi, Will. Yeah, we're also live streaming this on Instagram as we're recording this on StreamYard, trying out this new thing.
So if you're new to Reptile Talk, you should follow us on Instagram at reptile.talk. So sometimes you can catch us live streaming episodes.
That's right.
We're going to be looking to do that a little bit more. We might even stream them on StreamYard. We can do that, right? And share it with people.
Yeah. So I think one of the things that I was looking at was I might be able to send this right to my YouTube.
Oh.
So then it's just a matter of sending people the link, mm-hmm. and they can go and check that out. So I still have to do a little bit of investigating, but yeah, we're trying new things. The one thing I will tell you I'm not a fan of right now is how we look.
The video quality, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if maybe it's just because it's my
I look
iMac.
Weird.
I think it might just be because it's my Mac webcam.
Oh, you know what we should do?
Blank. I have that webcam there, but I need to connect it.
Oh, I was going to say we'll use our OnlyFans money to get a webcam.
No, we don't need to do that. We can use our OnlyFans money to get a cord for that webcam, though.
Okay. We can do that. We can definitely do that.
Yeah, we are also on OnlyFans. If you are not aware of that, you can check us out on OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/reptiletalk. Yeah. And it's where Rob, mostly, because I still have not logged into the account, I'm slacking. We're taking behind the scenes photos and video clips from when we're sitting here doing this nonsense,
doing our sound check, and I'm singing and serenading Jeremy, or when he's playing piano. I actually got some footage of him playing piano that I haven't uploaded there yet.
Oh, wonderful.
But it's just him, just like
me,
you know,
plunking around,
noodling around on the camera.
Rob was like, "Hey, this song is pretty cool," and I was like, "I remember that song," and I was like, "Oh, I don't remember that song actually. Let me fumble around a piano for a long time."
I don't know how to play piano, so it was very nice to me.
I'm glad. Meanwhile, I was dying on the inside.
He was like, I got it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He
I
threw
it out.
A full baby grand piano. He threw
I did.
It.
I picked it up over my head and threw it.
Yeah.
It was like watching
was
Dan with the Missouri rodent food bag. Just,
oh, my
Atlanta.
Oh, my Atlanta.
It's impressive.
Yeah. All right, so back to tools that people can use.
That's right.
That's what this episode is about.
Yes. Not how insane our OnlyFans is.
Yeah. I mean, it is insane. But no, I'm just kidding. So one of the things that might not be useful to everyone, but if you've got lizards, especially like chameleons and stuff, ZooMed put out a UVB reader. So it detects how much ultraviolet light is being put out by your UV lights. So you don't have to guess whether or not your UV light is putting out the appropriate amount of ultraviolet rays. You can actually test it. So it's just like a little sensor. It's like a little box, and you're supposed to put it inside of the enclosure, press the sensor. I think you're supposed to bring it up to the light a little bit. Mm. And if that's wrong, I'm sorry for the people who do chameleons. I don't do a lot of chameleon stuff, but Tom from ZooMed brought
Mission
us one, and it was great.
Mission.
But it's got instructions, so if you get one, it's really great. It'll let you know how long your UV bulbs are good for. I was telling customers before, because before the life on the UV bulbs, they encouraged replacing them every 6 months. Mm-hmm. And then I just talked to Tom, and he's like, oh, well, we've done like a lot of research on our UV bulbs, and they're now good for 9 months to a year. So they've
cool.
gotten way more life out of them. They're like, we usually recommend changing them out every 9 months now, but they're usually good for 12 months or more, up to 14 months.
That's pretty good.
And I was like, that's awesome. Especially like ZooMed's really good about if their bulbs break, they're pretty good about replacing them, mm-hmm. and making sure that the customers are taken care of. So if you save your receipt and reach out to them, they're really good about, you know, helping out their customers, because they do really care about their customers. We're not sponsored by ZooMed.
We are not. Damn. No, but that's certainly a good thing to know about.
Yes,
for sure.
Yeah, especially because if you go on any of the Bearded Dragon groups on Facebook, they're like, "Coil bulbs, you're the devil! You blind! You're killing your dragon!" And it's like, well, that was an issue when they made the very first UVB bulbs, but that is not the case anymore.
Also, we're gonna deviate again, just because now I'm watching it happen here. since we're doing video, in the near future, you'll get to see all the ridiculous shit that Rob just did when he did that little spaz attack.
Yeah, I was just like rolling around the studio.
Yeah, he fell down and did like 10 push-ups for no reason. It was it was pretty intense.
They were one-arm push-ups.
Yeah, they were. He was flexing. Oh, man. All right, so more tools.
Timers can be great. If
timers,
honestly, setting up your room so that it's less work for you is the best way to make it the best for the animals. So like if you work with animals that have got a lighting system, like you're not doing racks, you're doing enclosures, setting them up on a timer is great. You can adjust your timer depending on the time of year. So if you're looking at changing your light cycles for breeding, take it down once every 4 months or so you can adjust the time a little bit, so you can get your full 12-12 during the summertime, and then maybe cut it down to 8 hours or whatever during the wintertime, so that you can allow for a good photo period is really good. Because if you go, I will turn on the lights every day, you won't.
Yeah,
like you just won't. I promise you. You will do it for 2 months, and then you'll forget it for a week, and then you'll do it for a couple days, and then you'll forget it for a day, and then you'll do it for a couple more days. If you put it on a timer, don't touch it. Just leave it alone.
Yep.
And you never have to think about it again.
Yep. That's so true.
Same thing with like mist kits. If you've got a mist system, it's one thing if you enjoy having your one chameleon and you like spraying it every day, and that's part you get up, you brush your teeth, and you spray down your chameleon, and that's part of your morning routine. But if you've got any number more than one, or if you've got a couple different animals that need to get sprayed down, setting up a misting system that you have on a timer, so it goes off once a day for an hour or whatever, twice a day for an hour, just so those animals are able to drink and do everything. And that will definitely give your animals the best care that they need, because when it comes down to it, we want to do what is easiest. And if you take out one more factor that you have to think about, it's more likely that it'll just get taken care of and you don't have to think about it.
Automation
is the best.
It's very nice.
And the more, like I said, again, with the technology, as the technology is becoming more and more advanced, we're going to be getting better and better at keeping these animals, because it's going to be a lot of it's going to be automated. I look at like the saltwater fish hobby and the fish hobby in general. They literally have got light system controls that can make it look like a lightning storm is rolling through.
Yeah. Yes.
They do ramp ups for the amount of light that's dispersed from their UV lights during the, like in the morning. So
yeah,
it goes from
crazy.
Being dark to, and then they ramp it up a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit and a little bit until they get up to about noontime where it's in full light, just like it would naturally be out in the wild. And then they ramp it down at the end of the day. And it's like, people who keep leopard geckos are like, I don't want to do a timer, it's too tough. And it's like, the timer is the easiest thing.
Exactly.
It's not
set
even
set it and forget it.
That's all you have to do. These people are living in 2030 over here.
Yeah.
And we are here in 2021 rioting at the state house. Like, what is going on here right now?
Oof, too real.
I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah, that's fine. Back to the tools.
Yeah.
Timers are definitely good. Appropriate extension cords.
Yes. Do not go to Dollar Tree and get the cheapest extension cord that you can or surge protector.
Yeah.
They are more likely to start a fire that way.
It's true.
And that's a very real scary issue that can present for people who keep reptiles.
Yeah, it's worth the few extra dollars for the peace of mind. Again, just like when we were talking about buying doubles of things or whatever, so you have the extra one. It's like, yeah, it's a little extra money up front, but then you can take that sigh of relief knowing that if something happens, you've got that immediate backup. It should be just as nice knowing, I spent this extra $3 or something, but I know this is the right extension cord. I can plug all of these things into it and I'm not going to increase my risk of getting a fire or whatever, especially because like reptile people, I feel, are known for the jury rigging of terrible cords and
plugging this,
this extension cord into that extension cord, into this power strip, into that power strip. And then you wonder why something trips the circuit breaker somewhere. And you know, and you're just like, yay.
Yeah. I was at a place the other day and literally I had the temp gun and I touched a power system, like a surge protector. And one of the cords coming out of it was like hot to the touch. Like I put my back of my hand up to it and I could feel the heat, not even touching it.
Yeah, that's not good.
So I was like, oh, I wonder what temperature that is. I grabbed the temp gun and I temp gunned it and it was like 145 degrees. And I was like, oh, this is bad. This is not good. There's no way that anything good can come from this. Yeah. 100. When the plug itself on the outside is 140 degrees, that means on the inside, it's probably like 180 or more, which is not good. Not good at all. So just being able to know that and be like, okay, this needs to get replaced, is super important. But again, if you didn't have your temp gun, I mean, you would have been like, that's hot, but you would have been, I don't know how
it's
hot.
It's true. It's
very dangerous.
How hot is it?
It's getting hot in here.
I'll take off all my clothes. It's all right. Well, they're censored, so it's okay. You can do it.
We're not on Twitch, so it's okay.
That's right. That's right. Oh my gosh. So I mean, I think, in the grand scheme of things, there's a fair bit of stuff that just about every person who's keeping reptiles should be aware of, should have access to, or be at least researching if they don't have it right now. Because, you know, as we were saying, if you keep lizards, you know, if you keep bearded dragons, you don't need a snake hook, you know, that kind of stuff.
That would be funny.
That would be freaking hilarious. This is Chubbs. Chubbs get picked up by the claw.
Before I kept snakes, I did have a snake hook. But that's because I wouldn't field herping.
Yeah, that's okay. I thought you were gonna say for my chameleon, so I could put him on it.
I probably would have done that I was doing educational programs, so I could like hold him out over people.
Yep, exactly. Just for him to poop. Bombs away.
Oh no.
I'm sorry. I'm just having a good time.
Oh no.
Oh man. But yeah, I just think it's important to like take these things into consideration as you're, you know, maybe you might be looking at like upgrading your husbandry, just kind of in general, especially if you don't have a whole lot of animals. Yes. You know, think about like what's one thing that might make your life a little bit easier.
A timer.
If you don't already have it. A timer certainly is one of them, especially if you're keeping bearded dragons and anything like that.
Anything that's got lights.
Yeah, anything.
Anything that's got lights.
Yeah. Those kind of things. Having, again, like I've already said, doubles of different things.
Having a backup plan in case you lose power.
That's it. That is really it, man. It's important. It's freaking important.
We can't stress how important it is.
It's so important.
If you learn nothing else from us,
have a backup
plan. Have a backup plan.
Get a fucking generator. Just do it.
Thank me later. Yeah, thank us later. Now, if you could set up your generator to your smart plug, just kidding.
Rob's going a whole other.
I'm like, direction. Dude, the smart plug thing is like got me on a trip right now.
Rob's gonna have a whole house full of smart plugs.
I mean, my reptile room is probably gonna be all on smart plugs. I'm thinking about it now, and I'm like, oh man, I want a camera system set up that I can see every single thermostat, and every thermostat's plugged into a smart thing. So jeez. If something happens, I can turn it off.
Rob's gonna be like, "You want to see my reptile room? I have it all on camera right here."
Yes.
And be like, "Dude, we're in California.
Look at my holdbacks."
Yeah. No. It's a lot of holdbacks.
Actually,
Rob.
I just posted a video on my YouTube channel.
That's
Rob is creeping it real. Hey. I talked about it last week, and I was like, "I'll record," and then I actually did it. I recorded a video looking at all my holdback Borneos.
That's right.
And it was pretty cool. Yeah, I think like 10 people found it interesting.
Hey, I was one of the 10, so
nine
people. Hey. I don't count.
And me, so that's 8 people.
Oh, damn. Crushing it, Rob.
Hey. Hey. Creeping it real.
Oh, my gosh. All right, so I think we're about rounding up our time for this episode. So, Rob, if people want to find out more about you, where can they go find you?
Check me out on Instagram at Rob is Creeping It Real, on YouTube at Rob is Creeping It Real. And on Twitter at Rob is Creeping. I actually did post some stuff on Twitter recently. Hey. I still hate Twitter, but I'm trying to use it.
It's okay, Rob.
This whole series is just going to be us going, we hate Twitter. I don't like it. Ah.
It's fair.
So, Jeremy, if people want to find out more about you, where should they go?
They can find out more about me by going to Brassman Reptiles on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Check me out all over there. That's about it. Twitter at Brassman Rep if you care. I have neglected Twitter quite a bit.
Yeah, I don't. And then our OnlyFans.
And then our OnlyFans. OnlyFans.com right.
/ Reptile Talk. And I've got some more videos that I got to post. But.
And I got to post some content for you guys.
Yeah. Because he's been having a bunch of locks and stuff. And it's true. All the stuff that he's not going to post on Instagram. He's just going to post on OnlyFans.
That's right. I have a large number of photos that I've taken recently that I just haven't.
Me too, dude. Actually, I've been trying to like actually take pictures because I never think about it. And then I'm like, oh, man, I haven't posted anything on Instagram in a week. Whoops.
Oof.
I just posted my story.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, guys. That's going to wrap up this episode.
Thanks for hanging out. We will see you next time. And don't forget, if you take a link of this episode and send it to somebody who likes reptiles, somebody who, you know, think might benefit from listening to this episode, send it to someone. Send me a screenshot on Instagram at Rob is Creeping It Real. You'll be entered into our contest to win a free
temp gun.
Hey. Not sponsored by anyone. Sponsored by me. Sponsored by Rob is Creeping It Real.
Sponsored by Rob.
And Reptile Talk.
All right, guys.
Take care.